Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Please take a seat. Unfortunately, our chaplain is not able to be with us this evening. Before I say my usual words, can we just for a moment think about the people involved in the London Bridge tragedy, the two deaths and a large number of people badly injured, and a lot of people will have seen it and be very badly shocked. I think we do think for those people, feel for those people, and count ourselves fortunate that we live in a very peaceful part of the world. As usual, can I ask you to remember why we're here and consider the people and the district that we serve. Thank you. I welcome fellow members, ladies and gentlemen, to this meeting of the council. Can I ask that your mobile phones and anything else that might make a noise is switched off? Do all councillors have copies of the agenda papers? We're not expecting any emergency drill, so if the bell goes, it's real. People sitting at the back of the room, if you leave by the door you came in, towards the corner here, at the door to my right and behind. There are ladies and gentlemen's conveniences in the lobby, and there is water available there as well. Are there any apologies for absence?
Yes, Chairman, apologies from Councillor Dockra.
Thank you. Councillor Clark.
Apologies for Councillor Braxton.
Thank you. There are no public questions. Item 4 on the agenda, the minutes. There are two meetings that we have to consider. The first item on the agenda is to approve as a correct record the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on the 10th of October 2019, which you'll find on pages 5 to 26 of your papers. As Chairman of Council, I move that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of Council held on the 10th of October 2019 be approved and signed as a correct record. May I have a seconder? Councillor Steve Arnold. Unless a member has an amendment to change the minutes with the words to be included or deleted, which I can put to the vote, I will move to the vote on approving the minutes as drafted. Please vote now.
Chairman, that's 24 votes for and 3 abstentions.
We now move on to record the minutes of the extraordinary meeting of Council held on the 14th of October 2019, pages 27 to 30 of your papers. As Chairman of Council, I move that the minutes of the extraordinary meeting of Council held on the 14th of October 2019 be approved and signed as a correct record. Is that seconded? Councillor Oxley. Unless a member has an amendment to change the minutes with the words to be included or deleted, which I can put to the vote, I will move to the vote on approving the minutes as drafted. Members, please vote now.
Chairman, that's 18 votes for and 6 abstentions.
They are carried. Councillor Clark.
Sorry about this, Chair. I don't think it makes any difference to the numbers, but unfortunately, Councillor Potter had Councillor Blackstone's microphone, so therefore Councillor Blackstone has voted,
right,
and Councillor Potter didn't.
Thank you. So thank you for that. We will note that, and we'll make allowances to make sure that it's Councillor Potter is recorded. Are we happy with that, Nikki? Thank you. Item 5, there is no urgent business. Moving on to item 6, declarations of interest. Do any members have any interest to declare under the members' code of conduct? Yes? No? Councillor Clark?
Not actually sure that it is an interest, but I think it ought to go on the public record, that when we come to the item on the cattle market, I do use Moulton Cattle Market, but the amount of business that they get from me is going to make no difference to them, and I would probably do better if I took the cattle a greater distance to get everywhere else. So to that extent, it's pretty minor and irrelevant, but on the other hand, I think it should be on the record.
Thank you, Councillor Hart. That reminds me that I too have used Moulton Cattle Market and until about 20 years ago worked there. That's for the record. Like you, I don't think it makes a jot of difference to the debate. Councillor Cousins.
Mr. Chairman, I do visit the cattle market now and again for a few years. I've been there. So I do a peculiar interest in it, I think.
Thank you, Councillor Cousins. I think, like me, it's... And Councillor Hope.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. In the past, I've used the market and do at the moment. Thank you.
Good. Thank you very much. No other items of interest? No. Agenda item 7, announcements. Rather than an announcement of business, it's the procedure of how we're going to deal with the meeting. And I think that, looking at the back of the room, there are a lot of people who will be interested in the cattle market item, which is item 10B. I had hoped that we would be able to agree that the debate be held in public. At the consensus of the leaders' meeting this evening, that seemed unrealistic, and it is likely that when we get to that stage, we will move into exempt. In order to avoid members of the public having to leave this room and then come back when we'd finished debating that item, I therefore also propose to put that item at the end of business. I give this notice as a matter of courtesy to members of the public who have come to listen to that debate. So apologies if that inconveniences you. However, there are rules that we have to obey in terms of exempt information. Councillor Duncan.
Can I just make one point of clarification, Mr. Chairman? You stated leaders' meeting prior to this meeting. I just want to make clear to members of the public who are here that is a group leaders' meeting. It's not just a meeting where my views are heard. And my view at that meeting was that, where possible, we should try to have a debate in public, given the importance of this issue and the fact that people have come to hear it and the public interest that is involved with it. However, from the discussions with other group leaders, some of them referenced that they would like to refer to some of the confidential private information within the report, and therefore that didn't seem like it was going to be possible to have the public debate, which I had initially hoped that we would. So my view very much is we should try and have that in public, but I do understand that obviously if we are going to refer to that information and if we are discussing that at the end of the meeting, then it would be unfair not to notify the members of the public who are here, given that we don't want them to wait and then not be able to hear what we've got to say.
Councillor Clark.
I wasn't going to say anything until we get the sort of inference that some of us wanted it in private and some of it wanted it in open forum. I would have preferred it to have been in open forum. But the problem is that when it was discussed in the Policy and Resources Committee, many important facts, when it was discussed in exempt, were not discussed. It then was called in by Overview and Scrutiny, who asked for those facts to be considered. In the next time it was discussed at P&R in private, and again, they weren't. You cannot make a decision on an item that large and that financially costly to the people of Rydale, to the council, to wherever else, without having all the financial information on the table. Two opportunities were there for that to happen. They haven't, and therefore it needs to happen tonight. Thank you, Chair.
I would add, and thank you for that, Councillor Clark and Councillor Duncan, I would add that the council have a chance to vote whether we go exempt. It's not a foregone conclusion just because it's advisable that we go exempt. It is down to the members of the council to vote whether we go exempt or not. But we'll deal with that when we come to it. Item 8 is members' questions on notice. We have two members' questions on notice. The first one from Councillor Clark. Councillor Clark, please ask your question.
Thank you, Chair. To Councillor Duncan, Leader of the Council, what do you believe will be the environmental and health impacts of 5G in Rydale?
Thank you, Councillor Clark, for your question. It really is too early to provide an answer to this question because at this stage we have not received any specific development proposal related to 5G, and any case would need to be assessed, as I hope you can imagine, on its individual merits. However, there is some general guidance and some pointers which I can make. First of all, on the environmental impact. As and when we receive a proposal, we will need to consider what constitutes environmental impact and how best to benchmark and measure this. At present, we often assess visual/landscape issues when considering applications for telecoms development, as does the National Park, which is the local planning authority for a large part of Northern Rydale. However, it has been suggested that Veritau undertake a piece of work to help us to understand how other councils are putting measures around environmental issues, which would be able to help to inform our own approach. On the health impacts, when a development is proposed, the proposal is accompanied by a variety of technical information, including an ICNIRP certificate, which stands for International Commission on Non-Ionising Radiation Protection. This is a document which the applicant must produce to state that the installation is designed to operate within what the government and the International Commission considers to be safe limits in relation to radiation issues. A development would not proceed without the ICNIRP to confirm it meets health considerations.
Do you have a supplementary, Councillor Clark?
No, thank you, Chair. That was very enlightening.
The second question on notice. Councillor Potter, please ask your question.
Thank you, Chair. To Councillor Duncan, with reference to the potential cattle market site at Riggs Road 1, what enabling development was agreed by RDC with the Fitzwilliam Trust Corporation in return for their offer of land for a cattle market? 2, how many separate sites and how many hectares of land were involved in this enabling development? 3, what is the approximate value of that land as, small one, in its original planning status, as in undeveloped? And 2, development or building land? And 4, what was the additional planning gain collectively from those enabling developments other than the offer of land for the cattle market in terms of S106, SIL or any other agreements? Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Potter. I have consulted with our officers to get the most up-to-date information and the figures that are required. Question 1. The FTC did not make an offer of land to anyone for a cattle market, is my understanding. The Moulton Custer applications that were submitted identified an area that could accommodate a livestock market and agribusiness as part of the larger commercial development at Eden Camp. However, that land was not gifted to anyone as part of the planning permission. Question 2. Four applications were submitted in 2014 on four separate sites. These were commercial development at Eden Camp, 17.8 hectares in total, including a substantial surface water drainage facility, outline planning permission for circa 227 dwellings at the Shawfield Pasture Lane Moulton, circa 11.9 hectares, outline planning permission for circa 35 dwellings on land south of Westgate Old Moulton, approximately 2 hectares. Note, part of this site was the former highway depot and derelict Coronation Farmyard. And outline planning permission for 50 affordable dwellings on Rainbow Lane, Moulton, circa 3.4 hectares. All of the dwellings on this site are affordable and the site has been developed by Broadacres. There is detailed Section 106 agreement that relates to all four applications, which was finally agreed in March 2015. The content of the agreement is publicly available and can be viewed online. Question 3 that you asked me with regards to the approximate value of the land in its original planning status and also development slash building land is commercially sensitive. And as a result, I am happy to circulate the figures that I have in front of me to all members of the council, or officers can certainly facilitate that, but it is not information which I am able to disclose in the public session of the council. Question four, in terms of planning gain slash developer contributions, these are set out in full in the Section 106. We had not adopted SIL at this point, and there are no other agreements in place that involve the council. In summary, the main Section 106 contributions cover education, POS and highways contributions towards Brambling Fields. The three residential sites make contributions to education at a rate of £3,399 per dwelling for primary education and £1,338 per dwelling for secondary education. Highways contributions are £30,000 for the Rainbow Lane and Old Moulton sites, £172,500 for the Shawfield site, and £150,000 for the commercial development at Eden Camp. POS contributions are £38,170 from the Old Moulton site and £165,000 from the Shawfield site. The Section 106 does, of course, also include a sum of £1.019 million towards the provision of a new livestock market and associated infrastructure. Again, this is set out directly in the Section 106 agreement.
Have your supplementary.
Yes, it's not so much a supplementary as just the fact that the approximate land value of land in sort of planning, original planning status, and that value of development or building land, I don't see why that should come under exempt or be commercially sensitive, because that is surely common knowledge to any estate agent around town. Thank you.
Thank you. We move on to item 9, the leader's statement. Councillor Duncan, I call upon you to make your leader's statement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have nothing to add to my statement as is written in the agenda papers.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Councillor Duncan? Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. I've got two questions for our leader. Following the May election and regarding your notice on motion tonight, rewording coalition, can you confirm, is there now an official coalition in this council between the Conservative Party and the Rydale First Independents, as it is mentioned in the agenda tonight, the notice on motion? And my second question is, while you are thanking the people in your statement, could we also give a thought to the desperate people who are actually using our food banks in Norton, Moulton and Pickering, and thank the volunteers who work there? Whilst no one should be subject to using food banks, could I ask for your commitment as our leader to write to whoever is elected as Prime Minister that we are very concerned the numbers of people using our food banks is growing and this needs urgent attention for that to reduce. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Burr, for your questions. none of which I believe directly relate to the statement that is before us. However, I am happy to answer the questions that you've put forward. The first one regarding food banks, I would very much like to say well done and thank you to all of the volunteers that work at the food banks within Rydale, and in particular to my colleague, Councillor McKenzie, who, as people may know, is a very key volunteer at the food banks in Rydale and does a lot of good work. So particularly well done to him and also the team that he works with. He spent a lot of time initially at the setup of the food banks in Rydale and making them work, so well done to him and the people that he works with. Turning to your first question around a coalition, I need to be very clear that this group, the Conservative group, does not have a majority on this council. We can only achieve things if we work with other groups. We are happy to work with our colleagues in Rydale First. We're happy to work with colleagues from any group on this council. You ask about a formal coalition, and I would just like to point out that the Conservatives were the only political party in Rydale to fight every single seat in Rydale, all 30 seats. We went head-to-head with our colleagues in Rydale First through bitter electoral fights. Some of them were successful. Most of them were successful. Some of us were successful and quite a lot of us weren't successful in our fights. But we fought and contested every single seat. There is, however, I think something we do need to point out, and that is that some people do believe that there are other coalitions or certainly political games that are being played across Rydale when it comes to elections. The Liberal Democrats in the district present themselves as a new force that is taking over the district. They've got a new leader. They're going to block Brexit, and in the local elections they're presenting that they would like to win. However, there are a number of seats and places in the district where the Liberal Democrats have historically been extremely strong and have won seats in the past, and where they have not contested elections in recent times. And one of those, Councillor Burr, is your ward of Moulton, where there was no Liberal Democrat candidate, no Liberal Democrat fight to yourself. Obviously, you were previously a Liberal Democrat. So we have fought for the seats that we've got against our Rydale First partners. We're happy to work with the ones that have been successful. But I think the question does need to be turned around and asked about how are other groups working with each other in this district.
Councillor Keel. Supplementary, yes, okay.
Okay. Thank you. You didn't actually answer the part about writing to say that we needed to reduce people using the food banks. So I take that. And I do need to just remind you that at the previous meeting at the leaders group, you were the one that said that you didn't want to get political tonight, and the first opportunity you've launched into the Liberal Democrats. But anyway, if it's not an official coalition, that's fine, but it's just a little bit confusing because you have actually put it in your notice of motion. So thank you very much.
Councillor Keel.
Mr. Chairman, Councillor Burr has actually raised the point
just,
that I was going
before,
to raise.
Just before Councillor Keel asks a question. Councillor Burr had a comment, and I have a chance to respond to her comment in the supplementary question. I don't quite know where she is referring to the word coalition that's been mentioned in there.
It must be a matter of fact if there's a word coalition.
Chairman, it's a matter of fact,
just point it out, and then Councillor Duncan can look at it.
Just a matter of fact, whether it's a matter of fact or not. It's a matter of fact.
Well, then you need to quote the page number and where it is, and then he can see it.
If there isn't a page number, I'll add one.
The word coalition is mentioned in the motion, but it doesn't refer to any particular political party.
Maybe it would be helpful if you didn't shout across the chamber, but it is actually mentioned in the actual first page of the notice on motion, and it's at the bottom, and it talks about the administration of the council therefore comprises the leader, the deputy leader and lead members who are drawn from all or part of the controlling group or coalition, controlling coalition's membership. And it's really very confusing because the public need to know, and rightly so, you said that people fought against each other, but if there is an official coalition, people have the right to know. As I say, it's here in black and white, and I just was asking for an explanation.
Councillor Ryber, I have other people wishing to speak before you. I'll take note of you. Councillor Keel.
Yes, thank you. Councillor Bell has addressed one of the points I was going to raise. We did say at the leaders' meeting that we wouldn't be scoring political points this evening because we are in a period of purdah. But my actual question to Councillor Duncan is with reference to his leader statement, where he says, let us also remember those less fortunate than ourselves in Rydale and elsewhere on Christmas Day. Would he not agree with me that we actually need to be remembering them for the rest of the 364 days a year?
The statement that's been put forward has been put forward, I think, in the spirit that Christmas is approaching and we have our staff that are working hard on our behalf over Christmas, and that we do have people who are less fortunate than us sat in this room. That's what has been mentioned, Councillor Keel. And again, people talk about political point scoring, and it seems okay when some members of this council do that and not when others do so.
Sorry, I didn't mention politics in my question. It was a simple question. We have to remember that there are people less fortunate than us all year round. So it's just really the wording of what you're actually saying.
Councillor Arnold.
Thank you. I've already been questioned about this afternoon from Councillor Burt and Councillor Keel, and I completely denied there was a coalition. And you can ask my group members, is there a coalition? And there isn't a coalition. And I don't see where it says in here there's a coalition between the Rydale First and the Conservative Party. It doesn't say that in here. It's how you read it. It doesn't mention Rydale First. No. It says coalition...
Mr Chairman, questions on my statements, I believe. Yeah.
So, it's completely wrong. I completely deny it. We might agree on things, and that's safe. I say, as you, John Clark agrees with other people. But not very often. He agrees with me sometimes.
I have Councillor, after Councillor Arnold, I've got Councillor Ryby. I've got you.
My question is an answer to us whether, as a newcomer to the council, I've enjoyed my period. Is that a valid question?
If it's a question, it's a question to the leader.
So can I supplement my question with...
Any answer you've received.
So the question is, you've enjoyed your time on the council so far?
Yeah.
Have you? if I may supplement my answer. I'm pleased, Councillor Ryby, that you've enjoyed your time on the council so far. I'm happy to take a supplementary question on your feelings and thought.
I would like to thank our council leader for his final statement of 2019. And I remember his first one quite clearly as a new boy to the... And I say boy, I am the senior, by a long way, I think, member of the new income in group. And I admire his confidence and his forwardness. The word I was wanting to use about myself as a councillor was naivety. I forgot what the word was I wanted to use, and I nearly changed it for gullible, but I'll go back because I've remembered the word naivety. I came into the council via standing with Rydale First Group, being encouraged to stand as an independent, not as a political, in my view, but a representative of Kirby, Welburn and Wombleton, not as a politician, but as an independent representative. I listened with incredulity comments about the duplicity of the council, Conservative councillors, and was quite intrigued by all these comments by the guys that wear the pink ties. However, I refused to be part of them when I realised that there was a letter that I needed to sign, so I became part of the whatever you call the coalition. So
Are we coming to a question, Councillor Riby?
We are. So that was my first point of being naive. I didn't understand what was going on. The second was, I've already touched on it, was your opening statement of inclusivity. I now doubt really some of the things you say and the constitutional amendments that you're making, planning to make. I'm really apprehensive about this. However, I would like to say I still admire your leadership, and I would like to return your regards for Christmas, and I hope you have a good Christmas. Thank you.
Councillor Watts.
Sorry, could I respond to some of the comments that Councillor Ribe has made? This is supposed to be questions, and I'm not sure there was a very clear question, but I would like to address some of the points that Councillor Ribe has made. He's mentioned naivety of his approach to the council, and I think it does come sometimes as a surprise how local authorities do work, particularly perhaps the slow pace of change and also some of the issues which you have when there is no overall control of a council. He mentioned the word duplicity and duplicitous. He also mentioned that he was asked to sign a sheet of paper to be part of a coalition. He was not asked to do that. He was asked to sign a sheet of paper to be a member of a group, and I presume was presented with a sheet of paper that said Rydale First on the top of it, which was the name of the political party and the name of the group which he stood for as a member, to be a member of this council. And if he's talking about duplicity, then perhaps a week after being elected under the Rydale First banner, then switching from that Rydale First affiliation towards a different affiliation and a different grouping with different people, perhaps that's maybe more duplicitous than anything else. He mentions about doubts about inclusivity and inclusiveness and his role and his involvement. He is a member of the most influential committee on this council, no offence to Councillor Clark and Overview and Scrutiny, the Policy and Resources Committee. And there have been now at least 6 meetings of Policy and Resources. You have the very privileged position to sit on that committee, to have your say, and all 6 of those meetings you have failed to turn up for. I need to correct myself there, because there was one meeting where you did turn up and sit at the back and sent your substitute instead, who then sent you home so she could stay on the committee. She's substituted for you every single meeting of those 6 meetings. I've said to you many times that I wish for you to turn up to those meetings so you can see how we make decisions, the very long discussions that we go through, the considerations that we make before we make decisions, and you haven't done that. I would like you to do that. The offer is still there for you to turn up to that committee and to see what we do. I very much hope he does that, because I would like to say, Councillor Ribe, the comments that I hear from my group is that you seem like you've got lots to offer. You're a very wise person. A local person who knows the community that he represents, and I'll try and spin back my negativity, as you have, towards something positive, and make those comments, and also wish you a Merry Christmas as well. Thank you.
I did have Councillor Watts down, but I think it's Councillor Clark.
I think at this range, Chair, that you have both of us down, but I think you've swapped us over. Well, in the pre-meeting, our leader asked us if we could, you know, he was going to ask his own group not to make it political tonight. And I'm glad to see that he's leading his own group by example and not making it political at all. So on that basis, I'd like to point out that we fought against the Conservatives on 5 occasions only, 5 heads-to-heads and 1 all 5. But we'll try and keep it non-political. There is food banks in Rydale. Why are there food banks in Rydale? And what have you done as leader of this council to remove the need for food banks in Rydale? Not just at Christmas, but all the year round.
Councillor Clark, again, the statement that's been put forward, wishing people a very happy 2020 and a Merry Christmas, is being twisted and turned into something which it was not meant to be, and it's a shame that that has happened. I've mentioned that we have within our group someone who has more knowledge than I think anybody in this council of food banks and their use and the reason why they are there. And I don't wish to make comments, I think, on something which I've not had first-hand experience of and have not been involved with, other than to say that this council, I think, I'm very proud of this council, that anyone who needs support who comes to us is guided to where they need to get that support in order to survive, to eat, to live. Our housing service in particular is particularly impressive. Our homelessness count is amongst, I think, the lowest in the country. We are a caring council, and when people come to us, we do our very best to support them.
Do you have a supplementary, Councillor Clark?
Yes, Chair, I have. I don't like being accused of twisting things. I asked you, which you have totally ignored, why is there a need for food banks in Rydale, and what have you done to remove their need? That is not asking you how a food bank works or how much time you should spend in one, and anybody who does, I hold in the highest respect. But I suspect there isn't anybody working in a food bank that thinks it's a good idea having food banks rather than having it not done in the first place. So if we're into a question of those who are being discriminated against, which you say this council is to be held up high, why are we discriminating against families in this council that have more than two children? That's the supplementary. Don't bother with the food banks. We'll take your first not answering it as your answer. Why are you discriminating in the Policy and Resources Committee against families with more than two children?
Councillor Clark will have the opportunity to ask his question when we come to the council tax support scheme for the ensuing year, and I will answer his question at that point.
Two failures out of two, Chair.
Before Councillor Andrews, Councillor Wast, I did see you indicate you have a question. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sure the people of Rydale, please, we're all wishing each other a Merry Christmas. Just the leader in his statement, he says, we also started to make progress on some of the key issues in need of attention. Could the leader define what the key issues are and actually what progress has been made?
Thank you, Councillor Wass, for your question. He's noted there about the Merry Christmas. I'm thinking next year I might not bother to wish everybody Merry Christmas. He's asking there about some of the key issues that we've been working on. Again, Councillor Wass, you're a member of the Policy and Resources Committee. We have set up in recent times three key working parties, some of which you are a member of: the Milton Rooms Working Party, the Local Plan Working Party, Car Parking Working Party. We have a massive piece of work ongoing at the moment in terms of our enforcement and trying to improve on that. There is lots of work that members are doing, so much more work, I think, than we've probably ever done as members of this council, taking much more of an interest in the development of policies along the way. And I'm very pleased with the work ethic that members have got and the progress that we are making. Of course, things could always move faster than they are doing, and maybe if we could get past our leader's statement and the questions on the progress that we're making on the key issues, we may then get to the key issues to actually make that progress. Thank you.
And a supplementary.
It's more nitty-gritty, really, to do with how many people in Rydale are, in fact, in a better position air quality-wise, and how many people feel reassured by the non-decrease in greenhouse gases, especially as the clock is ticking. And how much is the ratio between the wages and house prices going down under a Tory government?
I do feel, Mr. Chairman, that I think I've given quite a lot of goodwill in terms of the questions on a statement which do not mention really any of the issues that have been raised in the questions. There's three others there which I could take all night to answer. And I feel like I've exhausted, I think, my goodwill on the leader's statement.
Councillor Paul Andrews.
Chair, I've got two questions, one of which I've given Councillor Keane notice of. The other one I haven't, so I'll start with that one first. And that is, coming back to this notice of motion that we discussed earlier, which he kindly gave answers on. At the bottom of the first page of that motion, there is a reference to the controlling coalition. Well, I haven't really heard what that coalition is. Could you please define it?
Councillor Andrews, your question with regards to the notice of motion should come when the notice of motion is being discussed and debated, and I'll be happy to ask your question at that point, answer the question at that point.
Well, can I also suggest to you and ask you the question is that if the answer to that question when you come to the notice of motion is that there is no controlling coalition, then that motion should be withdrawn.
I will pick up any questions on the notice of motion when we discuss the notice of motion. Right.
Councillor Andrews.
Right. Yes, Chair. I now come to the second question, which I have given Councillor Duncan notice of.
Can I just, Mr Chairman, I have seen the question. I know what the question says. It doesn't relate in any way, shape or form to the leader's statement. So, to prevent wasting everybody's time, could I suggest that Councillor Andrews doesn't read his question out so that I don't have to then just say again what I've just said.
Chair, I have the
Councillor Andrews, I will allow you to put the question if you'd put it down if it is a brief one.
Councillor Duncan, in your leader statement, you refer to key issues which require attention. And I'm sure one of those issues relates to housing. And as you yourself said to the working party on local plans, which has been set up. So I would say that this question does relate to your leader's statement. Councillor Duncan, I've received information which suggests that council officers or senior members may be secretly exploring the potential of the sites listed below for the purpose of building new houses in Malton. Please, could you confirm, it's a very simple question, please would you confirm, yes or no, that there are no plans or intentions by officers, senior management or members to secure or permit the building of houses on the following sites. The first one is the livestock market site in Malton, the one where the estate was going to build a medium-sized supermarket. The second one is anywhere on the land allocated for an industrial park and cattle mark centre on Eden Road. The third one is the land at the top end of Highfield Road, Malton, i.e. that is, in other words, the old Malton end of Highfield Road. And fourthly, Rydale House and the adjoining properties owned by NYCC, the police authority, or social services. Can you please answer those questions, please, Councillor Duncan? I do believe they do relate to your statement.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. I disagree that they relate to my statement. Those questions should have been submitted as a question on notice, as other members have done so. If you'd like to submit it for the next full council, I will answer your question in full and comprehensively.
Are there any other questions to the leader? Councillor Oxley.
I'm hoping I'll ask a question that we get a simple yes or no answer to. I'll flag early on that it is a question. Would the leader agree with me that the proposal on notice that's been referenced already is just that? It's for a future motion. And that anything that is in that will only apply if this becomes part of the Constitution. The coalition that is referred to is, if there is a coalition, should this become part of the Constitution. It is nothing to do with any existing coalitions. So I fail to understand why anybody has a problem with that. That only becomes an issue if this gets debated and if it becomes part of the Constitution. So to suggest there's any coalitions now that have anything to do with this, I think, is erroneous. Would you agree with that, Leader?
I'll just say yes. Thank you, Councillor Oxley, for your question.
And I will offer you a supplementary if you want it, Councillor Oxley.
I'm tempted, if only to annoy Councillor Clark, but no, thank you.
Thank you. I just want to cover those off, because I didn't want to miss anybody. Any more questions? Are we all done? In which case, we will move on. Now, as I alluded to at the beginning of the meeting, the next item, item 10, are the Part B committee items, the first of which is 10B in your papers, minute 67. Now, there is a lot of information that is in the report, which is exempt. The recommendation is public. I will offer the council the opportunity to go exempt for this specific item. If it goes exempt, it will be put to the end of the meeting to avoid inconveniencing the members of the public here. If the movement to go exempt fails, then it will be held in public and it will be held immediately following the exempt motion. Can I, if possible, if somebody from the floor will move that we go exempt, in which Councillor Raper?
So moved, Chair.
So moved. And there was a seconder. Is it seconded? Councillor Delaney. If you just let me take a record of that. Right. Does anybody wish to speak for or against the motion that we go exempt? Councillor Andrews.
Just to say, Chair, I shan't be here at the end of the meeting because I have to leave for another commitment. Can I take this opportunity to wish all members of council a happy Christmas?
I hope we all take that in the spirit in which it was given. We are debating whether we go exempt or not. If there's nobody wishing to speak for or against, I will go straight to the vote that we go exempt on this specific item, item 10B. Members, if you will vote for the motion to go exempt, please. We can indeed. Thank you, Councillor Clark. Please vote now.
Chairman, that's 20 votes for, 1 against and 6 abstentions.
The motion is carried, in which case the item will be discussed in exempt and it is moved to the end of the meeting. Thank you very much. We will move on to item 10C, which you will find on page 51, minute 82. Councillor Duncan, please briefly introduce this recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move the recommendation to Council from the Policy and Resources Committee regarding Rydale's Financial Strategy 2020-2024. There are two parts to the recommendation. The first is that Council be asked to note the content of Appendix 1 of the report, which formed the basis of the Council's financial strategy. The details in the document had been updated since being presented in October to full Council, and that the Council be asked to consider and approve the proposed consultation with the public as set out in Appendix 2.
Are there any questions for Councillor Duncan? No. Councillor Duncan, please move the recommendation, and once it is seconded, you may make your speech.
I always get a bit confused, Mr. Chairman. I thought I'd already moved it, but I'm happy to move it, and I think there is a seconder.
Councillor Steve Arnold, in which case you can make your move of speech. Councillor Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This document sets out the strategy with which our officers are working on the budget, which will be approved in February. The budget is obviously the most important document, perhaps, of the Council. It forms the basis and the resources for everything that we do. The document at the moment does not make specific recommendations or guidelines around council tax. It simply puts parameters between a freeze and the £5, which is the maximum that is allowed without a local referendum. The assumption has been made that we are not going to hold a referendum on increasing council tax above that £5 rate. Other points of note within there is that a lot of the assumptions that have been made around government grants obviously are the best that we know it at the moment, but there may well be a different government to the one that we have got now, and there may well be lots of different changes to the assumptions that have been made. A final point that I will make is around the commercial strategy referenced within the financial strategy document. This is basically our officers are going to be looking through all of the services with which we provide to explore opportunities to make savings, to make efficiencies, and to also look at opportunities to become more commercial in focus. The full details of that will take place and will be reported back through the member briefing procedure and obviously through the committee procedure before we get back to approving the budget in February. Thank you.
Councillor Arnold has seconded. Do you wish to speak at the moment? No. Does anybody wish to speak for? Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, this was voted upon at P&R and it was unanimous. And I would like to pass on my thanks to our officers who are doing a sterling job, and I'm sure that we will not have be in the position of a £2 million underspend as we have previously. I would like it noted on record on page 84 regarding the Assembly Rooms, the Assembly Milton Rooms preservation works, that this work relates to work required under terms of the lease to prevent further deterioration of the building and is purely our legal obligation, not an investment to run the Milton Rooms functions or to assist the Milton Rooms Management Committee. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. I don't have anybody else wishing to speak at the moment. Councillor Duncan to reply.
Could I just point out that page 84 is the next item on the agenda. It's not part of the budget strategy item. It's the budget monitoring.
If nobody else wishes to speak, Councillor Arnold has seconded. Do you wish to add anything? No. It has been debated so far as anybody wanted to. We'll go straight to the vote, please.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
It is carried. Item 10D, minute 83, which you'll find on page 75. Councillor Duncan, please briefly introduce this recommendation.
The recommendation is that we note the report from Policy and Resources on the budget monitoring quarter 2, 2019-20. I'm happy, Mr. Chairman, to move that formally, if that helps skip a...
Well, there might be questions, so we'll give people a chance. If there are any questions, if they ask him now. No. Councillor Duncan, please move the recommendation, and once it's seconded, you may make your move of speech.
I'm happy to move the recommendation.
And is it seconded? Councillor Arnold. Councillor Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very briefly, this is a statement of fact of the monitoring that's taken place for quarter two of 2019-20. They are how our finances are looking. This is the latest picture from those. Thank you.
Councillor Arnold, a second. Did you wish to speak? No. Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. I'd like the opportunity again to just reiterate what I've just said. It was quite a busy meeting at P&R and there was a lot of financial information. But I would like it noted and on record that the Assembly Rooms, Milton Rooms, Preservation Works item relates the work required under the terms of the lease to prevent further deterioration of the building and is purely our legal obligation, not investment, to run the Milton Rooms functions or assist the Milton Rooms Management Committee. Thank you.
Any more friends? Councillor Paul Andrews.
I suppose I'd better declare an interest as chairman of the Milton Rooms, hadn't I, at this point?
You have done. Anybody else wishing to add to the debate? No, in which case we'll go directly to the vote.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
It is carried. Moving on to item 10E, Minute 84, Localisation of Council Tax Support 2020-2021, which you'll find on page 87. Councillor Duncan, please briefly introduce this recommendation.
Thank you, Mr Chairman. Policy and Resources Committee considered the Localisation of Council Tax Support 2020-2021. There are different recommendations in there. I don't propose to read them all out, but this is something that we have to do on an annual basis, and the recommendation is there on page 87.
Are there any questions for Councillor Duncan? No. Councillor Duncan, please move the recommendation once it is seconded. Oh, I beg your pardon, have I missed somebody? Okay, Councillor Clark, sorry. I beg your pardon.
I wonder if Councillor Duncan, you can have a better go at this, and I hope it doesn't upset you. And that is, you are proposing to discriminate against the third and fourth child in a family. And I would just point out that there's lots of people who would like two children and end up with none. And there's lots of people who plan to have two and end up with four, with all the best planning and thought in the world. Why are you proposing here that we discriminate against third and fourth children?
Thank you, Councillor Clark, for your question. I would just like to state very clearly that I do not consider that this council, if we go ahead with this proposal, is discriminating against people with three or four children. What we are doing is, with the new scheme, there is a whereas before there was different allowances based on one child, two child, three child, four child, what is happening at the moment is that it's either one or two plus. And what this does is bring our scheme, our council tax support scheme, in line with other national schemes such as tax credits, universal credit, housing benefit and other DWP legacy benefits, in capping the maximum number of children to two. This is being replicated within the local council tax support schemes across North Yorkshire and nationally as well. And I would like to point out that for anyone who can demonstrate that this change causes financial hardship, they will be directed to the discretionary hardship fund, which they would be able to access.
Are there any other questions on this item? No. Councillor Duncan, please move the recommendation, and once it is seconded, you may make your mover's speech.
Thank you, Mr Chairman. I'm happy to move the motion. I think there is a seconder.
And we have a seconder, Councillor Arnold. You may make your mover's speech, Councillor Duncan.
Thank you, Mr Chairman. I'd just like to reiterate some of the points I've made previously. This council needs to approve a local council tax support scheme for 2020-2021. We don't have a choice in doing that. The impact of the proposals are set out in the recommendations to the report, but importantly, this would mean supporting those who have the lowest income and simplifying the system. When we discussed this at Policy and Resources, there were lots of questions that members had, myself and other members of Policy and Resources from different political groups, and the point was made that we would like, as members, to have more involvement in next year, the development of next year's scheme, so that we are involved from the very outset through the consultation phase. And we also requested that we would like to have an update at 6 months to understand fully the changes, that the implications of the changes which we have put forward. It's worth pointing out that the new scheme will see an increased cost of approximately £50,000 a year. This figure will be shared across the major preceptors through the collection fund, with our share, Rydal District Council's share, being £5,000. It's worth noting as well that we wrote off £86,000 of arrears last year, and although the new scheme will not end those write-offs, it's expected to contribute to reducing that amount. The new scheme will actually save more money for Rydal than it will cost, with admin savings of £6,500. It introduces a grid scheme, which is easier for people to understand and brings us in line with other authorities. It's also worth pointing out that before, the maximum deduction that someone could have would be 91.5%, so there would still be some bill that everybody had to pay. The new scheme actually increases that to 100%, so those people who are most in need will not be required or asked to pay any council tax whatsoever. So there is added support there for those people. And again, the Exceptional Hardship Fund does exist for those people who can demonstrate hardship as a result of the banding scheme which is being brought in. I'll just say again as well that we did have lots of questions, but the view was that we've been through the consultation process. It's been devised as a coherent scheme, and therefore we wouldn't want to challenge that prematurely, but we do want to keep an eye on the implications of the scheme.
Councillor Arnold, a seconder, do you wish to say anything at the moment? No. Does anybody wish to speak for or against? Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, this was brought up a policy, and there was an awful lot of debate, and I would probably call it anxiousness around what we were hearing, and that is why I abstained. And I don't think that we've actually got it right at the moment, and I think that we need to be much, much more involved. So I won't be supporting this because I just don't think that we really had a handle on it. But I do understand where it's going and what it's trying to do, but I think we're on the back foot, really. So lots more questions to answer.
I have Councillor Clark next.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to move an amendment, and that is that we delete F. Now, I hope the word deleting F means that there will be no limit on the calculation for children. In other words, we would go on up the scheme like I understood we did do before. I don't want to delete all support and all calculations for all children, but I think that's the right wording, that it's the limit I want removed, so you go on putting in the children's, however many there are.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. It is seconded by Councillor Joy Andrews. It is very simply to delete F from the motion. Councillor Clark, do you wish to open the item on your amendment?
Open the batting, yes,
open
thank
the
batting. You, Chair. Some of us actually wondered about the efficiency and the sense of this scheme, trying to get something from those who had next to nothing. And writing off 86,000 doesn't mean it was wrong before, but it does imply the line was drawn in the wrong place. And on that basis, overall, I welcome the scheme. It means that where you've got people in severe hardship, you can take it up to 100%. Because trying to get money out of people that haven't got, and I realise this is before Councillor Duncan's time, and in fact it goes into the time of Mrs Thatcher and Curry, you know, the ones that you were explaining to Edwina, that's it, last time, that they spent a fortune trying to get money from people who had no money. And that is a ludicrous situation. And it was very near to where this council was trying to get. So I think overall this scheme is good. It is better than what we had. And it does mean that people are putting in something rather than putting in nothing wherever possible. but where it's not possible, we're accepting that nothing is what it should be. But when we come to the falling in line with the government, well, jolly good. I'm delighted to hear it. Falling in line with universal credit. Another thing to be proud of. I'm not surprised that a conglomeration of North Yorkshire councils comes up with let's fall in line with the government, because I suspect a majority of the members that have been looking at this from various angles are of the... it wasn't a coalition, was it, you had originally? What was it? Because you don't have coalition. But anyway, when you were in with the Lib Dems, I would have... Well, that wasn't a coalition. What did you call it then? Oh, it was an official one, yes. I thought that was an official coalition, yes. On that basis, Chair, why are we saying that the support should be so much if you have one child, so much if you have two, and no more if you have three? And you can have households that have no children and try desperately. They then do the right thing and adopt two. And then find that two more are on the way. And they've gone from naught, which they didn't want, to four in a few months. And on that basis, it isn't going to cost this council much. Somewhere in the region of the total cost of the scheme of covering it all will be something like 20,000. Not 20,000 to Rideau, but... of which Rideau would
have... If you'd like to wind up, you're getting to your time, Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. So on that basis, it's only a small change, it's only a small amount, but to that household, it is a lot. These are the people that are going down to the food banks, these are the people that are complaining against universal credit, and these are the people that need our support. And it
I is think an you've, had the, you've got your message over, thank you.
And I'm just going to wish our leader Merry Christmas, but I could avoid that if you'd prefer me to.
I think we'll move on, if you wouldn't mind. Councillor Joy Andrews, does anybody wish to speak for or against the amendment? Councillor Duncan.
Thank you, Mr Chairman, and thank you, Councillor Carter, for his amendment that's been put forward. As I stated in my introduction, I'm very hesitant about changing a single element of this scheme without looking at the bigger picture and the impact that it might have. There is a full document with the background information, including the income grid. And within that grid is references to very specific amounts ranging up to between 0 and 380. If we were to define within that 3, 4, 5, 6 onwards number of children, we would have to identify... I believe some figures that would go with that, and we don't have that in front of us. This should have really been raised in the policy and resources meeting when we had the full team on hand who could answer the technical questions. The people who have worked on this scheme have consulted on it for several months, and not just one change to the scheme, which may be the best thing to happen, may not be the best thing to happen, may have a big impact, may have a small impact. We don't have a full understanding of that in the full council meeting that we have now. We did have that opportunity at the policy and resources meeting to really probe into the implications. And I would also just like to once again challenge what Councillor Clark is saying around discrimination. This scheme allows up to 100% reduction. That is a reduction, they will pay nothing whatsoever, not a single penny will be requested from them to pay. And that has been factored in with single couples, families with one child, family with two or more children. I think, therefore, that those people who are the very poorest in society, who are unable to pay council tax, they have potentially, from this council, the opportunity to pay nothing of their council tax bill. And I think that provides, in my opinion, the support that those people need. And as I do keep mentioning, there is that hardship fund which exists, that anybody who is on a borderline or anybody whose circumstances change or something like that, they can appeal to the hardship fund based on their individual circumstances. No scheme which we devise, be it one, two, three and upwards worth of children or any other particular set of circumstances, can fully cater for every single person who is in need of support with their council tax bills. But what we can do is provide a simple scheme which then people can refer that to a group of people who can consider their individual circumstances, which is the hardship fund. So I am opposed to making a changes to the scheme that's been devised for the reasons that I've outlined, and therefore I'll be voting against the proposal that you've put forward. Not because it's necessarily the wrong thing to do, but simply because it's the wrong way of going about it.
I don't have anybody else wishing to speak for or against the amendment. Councillor Burr.
Yes, Chairman, I will speak. It's just a simple amendment, and it's looking at families with children. And the thing that really makes me worried about this is that, yes, we have got a hardship fund, which, yes, people can be signposted to, etc. But as we've heard, people who are suffering, one of the worries is about going through certain systems and how long it takes. So this amendment, I guess, would just be very simple to say you don't have to have that worry and strife of going to get into the hardship, and then we'll analyse it and make sure. It's actually just saying you are actually okay. So I think it's actually quite a simple and quite a useful thing to have, so that we can give these people the benefit that they know that they won't have to then apply to a hardship fund.
Does anybody else wish to speak for or against? Councillor Raper.
Thank you, Chairman. Basically, I'd like to challenge the premise on which this motion has been put forward. We are going to decide, or I want this council to decide, whether to go and change this suggestion. I'd like to bring forward on page 111 analysis of the public consultation, the wider public, the people who are actually affected by drawing benefits such as this, have been asked their opinion. 85% should the council continue to a grid system? 85% yes. Should the council limit the scheme to two dependents for all? 81% yes. I think the public have spoken on this. I think we ought to shut our traps and let this get on with.
Any more for our Councillor Thackeray?
Just in response to Councillor Raper. 80, did you say 81% or 85?
Page 111.
If I move my page, I'll lose it. But just for the benefit of people sitting around the table, whether it's 81, 84, 83, there were 32 respondents to the consultation, which in my book is not a lot. And of those who disagreed to the restriction, and I'm reading the words here, for the benefit of the people in the public gallery. For those who disagreed to the restriction to the two-child limit, some felt this was too low and could potentially lead to child poverty. So thank you to the council for taking on board what people said.
I haven't anybody else wishing to speak. Councillor Brain.
Thank you, Chair. I just wonder when people are like making these decisions, if they actually know anybody in this position where they are desperate and they're waiting for money and they have to beg and they have to actually go on some kind of hardship fund, and the embarrassment they have, because I know a lot of people in that position, and I just think for a simple amendment I can't see anything wrong. Thank you.
Nobody else has shown themselves to me. Councillor Joy Andrews is seconded. Do you wish to speak at the moment?
Thank you. As Councillor Raper pointed out, 81% said yes to the two children. I would like to know what percentage of the 81 have, how many children they have. It does also say in the comments, a limit of three plus children would reflect a common family size and reduce the number of children at risk from poverty and reduce the risk of spiralling debt and administrative costs of recovery. Because I think we're going to end up in the situation that we ended up in before. If you are taking money out of a family that doesn't have the means for whatever reason to supply food, clothing, etc. to that family, there is going to then be, you're going to end up where you were before, trying to get money out of people that have none. So therefore you're still going to end up in that situation where we're still going to be writing off a certain amount of debt, whereas if this could be just taken out, it gets rid of that not being able to collect. And I would urge people just to support this amendment. Thank you.
Before going to Councillor Clark for his right to reply, I have Councillor Duncan and Councillor Mason have indicated.
I'd be happy just to respond to the comments that have been made as chairman of the committee.
Councillor Mason.
It's not quite on the amendment, but I think another thing we need to be aware of here is the reduction of the capital from, I believe, 16,000 to 6,000. That's going to bring a lot of people into this. There's a lot of people I know, pensioners and that sort of, have some savings there put away, and if they're caught in this trap as well, that's a lot more people having to pay more council tax in the area.
Councillor Duncan, as a mover of the substantive motion, you have a right to reply. Councillor Clark, you're the mover of the amendment. And we're going to Councillor Duncan. Quite right. You're first and then Councillor Duncan. Keep me right.
I will endeavour to do so, Chair, but probably get it wrong more times than you do, so I wouldn't lean on it too heavily. Let's start with Councillor Raper. Please do. 81% said it was a good idea to limit it to two children. Go back 20 years. When the vast majority of the population wanted to discriminate against gays, lesbians, still discriminates against women, etc. So I'm not sure that vox pop is the way to decide what is discrimination and what isn't. But let's have a look at the equalities impact assessment.
What page is that?
Page 4 of 22, or page 112, or Human Resources EA 2010. Third bullet point. Larger families who have two children or may receive less support. Why would you put that in an equalities assessment judgment if you didn't think it had anything to do with equalities? And then we come to the hardship fund. Dear, oh dear. Does anybody know any pensioners that are short of money because they're not getting their full pension tax credit because they don't know that they could have claimed it? Let alone getting special support because the pension tax credit is not enough. People go years when family working tax credit was there without knowing they could claim for it. So here we've got an opportunity to support those that have got more than two children. Why would we want to discriminate against them? Because if their parents are earning large amounts of money, etc., they're not touched by this at all. We're only talking about those that are at the bottom of the heap. We're talking about those who are struggling, and we're making sure that those who've got three or four children that are struggling are going to struggle even more. That, Chair, is not acceptable. And I'm sorry through you, Chair, to the Leader of Council, but wishing people well, and I did ask him, and he refused to answer the question as to what he was going to do in Rydale to reduce the number of people going to food banks. Yet here he's got an opportunity to reduce the amount of need for people who are using food banks, and he's not prepared to do it. He's already told us, without listening to the whole debate, that he will be voting.
If you'd wind your comment up, we've got time.
I think I'm there, Chair, but we would like a recorded vote on this, please, because I think it ought to go down in history as to what they mean compared with what they say.
Thank you. Councillor Duncan has moved with the original motion. You have a right to reply.
I'd just like to underline again that the development of this scheme is not cost, it is not saving money. It is, in fact, more generous than the scheme that is already in existence. It's been developed by the officers who work with people in need of support on a daily basis. They understand the issues because they work with people every day and see that firsthand. This scheme offers more support, a greater maximum reduction, and more money written off than we do at the present time. People are talking about hardship, people are talking about poverty. These are all issues which we care about. But the scheme that is on the table at the moment, I feel, is a fair scheme which will provide the most vulnerable in society with yet more support. And there seems to be an argument that's been put across that we can't cater for all circumstances, and I agree, we can't do that with this scheme. And that's what I was getting at with my earlier points about the assistance which people can seek out. We could just say, let's reduce everybody's council tax, nobody pay council tax. We'll deal with every single issue in that case. But there has to be some parameters. There has to be a scheme. This was put forward at Policy and Resources, and out of the 10 people who were there, 9 people voted for it, 1 person abstained. This has been called a simple amendment. It should have been brought forward at Policy and Resources. Councillor Burr, you should have mentioned it there if you had concerns, and you didn't. We asked lots of questions, but no one raised any sort of amendments or any major concerns with this scheme. It's the wrong way of doing things, the wrong way of doing business in this council. I can understand the Liberal Democrats raising their issues now because they don't sadly have representation on Policy and Resources due to their small size. But everybody else has had that opportunity and should have fed back their views to the committee at the time. This is not the most appropriate place to be discussing the circumstances of, as has been mentioned, the most vulnerable people in our district. So I feel we very strongly should stick by the scheme that we've got and, as I say, monitor the impacts of that within 6 months' time. This is renewed annually. We have a new scheme every year, and at that point we can consider the impacts that has been put forward of the scheme that we've got.
Thank you. It has been debated. We'll now vote on the amendment, so we're voting on the amendment to delete F. So if you wish to delete F, you're voting for. If you don't wish, you're voting against. Please vote now. We're all clear on what we're voting for, the amendment. Thank you.
Chairman, that's 10 votes for, 15 against, and 2 abstentions.
The amendment is defeated. We therefore go back to the original motion. Does anybody else wish to speak for or against the original motion? Councillor Clark. You've already spoken on the original. Oh, you didn't. It was to raise the amendment. You're quite right. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I would have hated you if you'd got that one wrong.
I nearly didn't. I nearly got it.
No, you nearly. Yeah. Right.
Thank you. You got it.
Let's, Chair, look at the appropriate place to raise things in relation to this. Let Council refer it to overview and scrutiny. An overview and scrutiny looks into it for 3 working parties and a committee meeting. A great deal of time and effort. And then the people on overview and scrutiny, when it gets back to full council, are whipped into voting against what they spoke and what they voted in scrutiny. So maybe that wasn't appropriate, or maybe what we're doing tonight isn't appropriate. The 2 children thing was asked at P&R, but hasn't gone any further. Out of the people, 100 of the applicants that this applies to have 3 or more children. 42 gain. 42 families gain out of the 100. And I said at the beginning, the first thing I said, this is an improvement. And those 42 out of the 100 gain. But do a little maths and you're left with 58 that lose. So although it's overall gaining slightly more than half where they've got 3 or more children, lose. Why would you want to do that? and I'm glad you feel good about it, to fit in with the system. I don't know where this system comes from, but if this is the leadership we are getting to be caring for the people of Rydale, I'm not at all comfortable as being part of it, Chair. Thank you.
I have nobody else as indicated, so we'll go to the seconder. Councillor Arnold, do you wish to speak? No. Councillor Duncan, you have the right to reply.
I think we should move straight to the vote, Mr. Chairman.
We will go straight to the vote. Vote for the motion, please. It's if you would vote now, please, members.
Chairman, that's 17 for and 4 against and 6 abstentions.
The motion is carried. We will therefore move on to item 10F, minute 85, the readmission of Scarborough Borough Council to the Verytown North Yorkshire, which you'll find on page 131 of your papers. Councillor Duncan, please briefly introduce this recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm happy to introduce a recommendation relating to the readmission of Scarborough Borough Council to Verytown, North Yorkshire. The recommendation is there on page 131.
Are there any questions to Councillor Duncan? No? In which case, Councillor Duncan, please move the recommendation, and once it is seconded, you may make your speech.
I'm happy to move the recommendation. I think is a seconder.
Councillor Steve Arnold, a seconder. Councillor Duncan, make my move a speech now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll keep this quite brief. Scarborough Borough Council left the Verytown arrangements to go it alone. They've realised that they no longer wish to do that, and they'd like to be back in as part of the Verytown scheme. They've made a formal request to the councils, the authorities that make up that, which is that they'd like to come back in, and some councils have taken that to their full council meetings for approval, and we have followed suit with that, hence why it's on the agenda tonight.
Does anybody wish to speak for or against? No. In which case there's no need to reply. We'll go straight to the vote. Please vote now on the motion.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
It is carried. Thank you. Moving on to item 10G, minute 54 of the Treasury Management Mid-Year Review, which you'll find on page 139 of your papers. Councillor Clark, please briefly introduce this recommendation.
I'd like to move the recommendation as on the paperwork. And my full speech is one comment. Can I request that somebody keeps on looking into and finding out about the possibilities of this council investing, through you, Chair, to Councillor Duncan, our leader, I'd hate him to miss this, and to invest into the universal a credit union, so that we can help those that are in need of borrowing money. Because we had today, if I heard correctly, and I left to go and do some work, was it HSBC or some other bank who were going to charge 40% on overdrafts? That is going to hit those who at the bottom. Those that are well off, they'll cope with it. They won't do it again. But those at the bottom will be hurt incredibly, along line with loan sharks, and therefore we should be doing something quite chunky, not to risk money, but to support credit unions. And on that basis, I would ask that is taken up by the politicians and looked into and delivered, if possible, by the officers. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. It sounded like it was also the move of speech.
I said that to both together.
You did indeed, but I will allow questions if anybody has questions to the Councillor Clark. If not, no. And it is seconded, please, by... Do we have a seconder for the motion? Councillor Wass, thank you. Councillor Wass has seconded. Do you wish to speak at this moment? No. Does anybody else wish to speak for or against the motion? No, in which case there's no need for a reply. We'll go straight to the vote. Well, I won't allow that, please. Please vote now.
Chairman, that's 24 votes for and 2 abstentions.
It is carried. That's the end of the public items on the... On item 10. Before we go to item 11, I see there are a number of people sort of fidgeting, and I wonder if people want 5 minutes adjournment. We'll have... it's now 8 o'clock. We'll... reconvene at 10 past. Let's have 10 minutes break for those who need it. Thank you.
I don't know. It's probably worth asking him. Because I've never been sent it, so I couldn't provide it. Then go and squirt some of my solution in my eyes as well.
If you'd like to be making your way back to your seats, please. All right, ladies and gentlemen, members, if we get back to business, it's now 8:10. We've now got to agenda item 11, the notices on motion. One motion has been submitted. Well, if you maybe go and whip him in, please. 10 minutes is 10 minutes. Yeah, well, they should have worked. Right. So we have one motion on which has been submitted. Councillor Duncan, please move your motion, and then once it is seconded, you may make your speech. Members, it's on page 3 of your papers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm happy to move the motion that's been submitted, and I believe I have a second.
Are there any questions first? Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. I wonder if you could tell us what consultations you had with the Chair of Scrutiny or the members of Scrutiny or anything to do with Scrutiny in relation to the changes you are proposing. Proposing in relation to Scrutiny.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Within the motion there is a proposal that the audit functions which are currently being carried out by the Overview and Scrutiny Committee, of which you are Chair, and the governance, the standards functions as well that are performed by Overview and Scrutiny, are transferred to a new committee. And the reason for that is the advice from the auditors, which we've had as a council, and the discussions that I've had with our finance officer, is that they feel that a separate audit committee would be the best thing for this council and has a clear markings of responsibility as to who is doing what. There has not yet been any consultation with yourself, Councillor Clark, as chairman of Overview and Scrutiny, but there was, as you may remember, attempts by myself at the Constitution Working Party, of which you are a member, to set out a scheme which would get agreement from group leaders and the chairman of the council to review our constitution. And what happened at that meeting was yourself informing the working party that you felt we shouldn't introduce new items or proposals for changes to the constitution at the working party. Things should be referred to it. And we did have the meeting of the Constitution Working Party, the first for several years, which I was very keen for us to have, to deal with outstanding business. But unfortunately, I felt like the attitude of members of some of that committee was not conducive to us having meaningful discussion about the future of our Constitution.
Have you a supplementary?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I remember that meeting very well. And at no point can I, nowhere can I find in the Constitution where it says that the Constitution Working Party will. What the Constitution Working Party has always done, or at least tried to do, is to look at proposals that come from the other parts of Council and consider where they go with them and whatever. This motion appears to bypass all that, bypassing the committees. It's bypassing Scrutiny Committee, Policy and Resources, Planning, all of which probably ought to be into one committee. As for the auditors saying what they've said, you said that it's the clear marking of responsibility. I hope you'll be able to back that up with exactly what criticism the auditors have got of the audit work that the scrutiny committee has done. Because I'll be asking them what they've said to our leader in relation to that. So therefore, if you could clarify it now, it may save us quite a lot of time and communication.
Thank you, Councillor Clark, for your supplementary question. You mentioned there about committees and consultation with committees. I think the important thing to point out is that the constitution of this council underpins the workings of all committees of the council and all members of the council. And therefore, it seems to me the right place for full council to discuss the constitution and to make decisions upon it. You mentioned there about auditors' comments. That is what has been said to me in my conversations with our finance officer. I will be able to find out if there's been anything formally written to the council in terms of a comment that's been made, and I will endeavour to find that out.
Apologies, Chair, but when he first said, and it will be on the tape, but I don't think my goldfish memory, I think it managed to hold it for the 5 seconds, he said the auditors had said. Now, if the auditors have said, and he is quoting the auditors, then the auditors needed to have said it to him, if he's going to quote it to full council. Or he needs to source it when he says it. Explaining now that it was, in fact, second-hand, to me, is not acceptable. But if that's the way he wants to play it tonight, that's fine, Chair. I look forward to it.
Councillor Potter, I have you for a question.
Yes, thank you, Chair. It says under the leader's section, the leader will work closely with the head of paid service to ensure member priorities are delivered. Now, if I'm not very much mistaken, the priority of many of the members in this room tonight are quite different to the priority of the controlling group. So could the leader please say which members' priorities exactly will he be working closely to deliver? I have a second question. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Potter, for your question. This council as a whole, all 30 members of it, set our priorities through the various policies that we have, through the council plan, through our local plan. They are our priorities, collectively decided and voted upon. Inevitably, in the real world, it's unlikely that all 30 people are going to agree with every single policy document and every single priority that this council has. But I see my role as a leader of this council to ensure that what is decided by this council and by its committees is acted upon and delivered by our officers. I'm happy to. I hope that's clarified the point.
Your supplementary.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, that's quite clear that that means he'll work closely to deliver the priorities of the controlling party. Also, later on, lead members, it says, the leader and deputy leader will serve as lead members, each with a lead portfolio, and three other lead members, each with a lead portfolio. What exactly are these portfolios of these varying between 2 and 5 people, please?
Thank you, Councillor Potter. Just returning to your first comment you made there about the controlling party. This is, the Conservative Group is the largest party on this council, but as I pointed out already tonight, we do not have an overall majority on this council, and therefore, if we are to achieve anything which we would like to achieve, we have to work with others, and that may be different groups at different times. But there is no controlling party, so to speak, although there are certain groups that are bigger than others, and maybe unfortunately for the Liberal Party, more people voted to have Conservative councillors than they did to have Liberal councillors. And some people do seem unwilling or unable to understand that in a democracy there are some political parties bigger than others, and therefore they can get done and deliver what they promised to the people when they put themselves forward for election. And that those people who are of smaller groups, who don't win an election and therefore don't have as much representation can't use their people to deliver as many of their priorities. Hopefully, this council does more often than not meet in the middle to deliver things that are shared priorities from across this council. And I think there are opportunities and examples of where there has been consensus in the past. So I do just want to make that point. Some people seem that they don't want to accept that the Conservatives are the biggest group on this council, and therefore we will try to achieve what we'd like to achieve and working with other people on the council. You mentioned there about lead members. If you read the motion, it states very clearly that the annual council meeting, that is all 30 members of this council, will agree the portfolio areas for each lead member and appoint lead members to be members of the Policy and Resources Committee. So the lead members which we have, and they may be drawn from any or all political groups on this council, as decided by the annual council meeting, will decide and set the parameters for that portfolio. For example, you could have a finance portfolio, you could have an environment portfolio, you could have a tourism, economic development portfolio. Whatever this council may wish to come up with, it can do that. And the benefits of that, in my opinion, not just for our group, but for all groups on this council, is that people then very clearly have a point of accountability to which they can ask questions and hold to account for the performance in their portfolio area, as well as the Policy and Resources Committee as a collective, as happens at the moment. It means that you have members, most likely to be of the group that is managing to achieve most of what they want and most of their priorities, or groups, is likely to be in the case of the council at the moment. It helps just be clear for everybody as to who is doing what, and also allows more member engagement. I'm fine. I can stand here at every single full council and present from Policy and Resources the decisions that have been made and take all the questions. I'm happy to do that. But I actually do feel like this council would benefit if there was more involvement and more responsibility that members were taking on from whichever group that may be.
Councillor Mason, have you down for a question?
This kind of follows on from your point there, Keane. It's more about how this is going to work. I'm looking back at this administration section. And how do you envisage this administration being created from a controlling group, which I don't believe you're not. I think you're the majority, I agree, yeah. And or a controlling coalition. You know, this council, as far as I remember, is now no overall control. So you lost the majority in May, so you're not the controlling group on your side. I'd just like to know how this is going to set up the administration when you're drawing from a controlling group or a controlling coalition, when we have no official coalition, apparently, unless we're destined for an official coalition.
Thank you, Councillor Mason, for your question. In answering that, I would like to look at many other authorities around the country which are in a similar position to ourselves following the elections where there is no overall control. One example which neighbours us is, of course, York City Council, which has a Liberal Democrat leader at the moment and a majority Liberal Democrat cabinet. They've managed to achieve that position and those positions by working with another political party, which is the Green Party. Yeah. That gives them a stable basis for decision making. They can set their priorities. They can be held to account on those priorities if they fail to deliver on them. And they're working together, don't want to say this, but quite successfully at the moment. And I feel like having that in this council would work quite well. You can call it a coalition. You can call it a partnership. You can call it people who are willing to speak to each other and work together. Call it what you want. But the key thing is that it will, I think, give the stability which we need. And if I was an opposition member of this council and all the other groups spun against the Conservatives to form a coalition together or to work together on whatever basis it might be, then I would actually appreciate knowing who is responsible for what and who can be held to account for what.
Have you a supplementary, Councillor Mason?
Yeah, I take your point. But, I mean, we've heard tonight there's no official coalition in this council, apparently. But York, I believe, it is an official coalition. And I compromise and working together and collaboration is definitely necessary. But this statement says here you're going to draw the administration from the controlling group or a controlling coalition. That won't work. We don't have that at this council unless there's going to be an official coalition.
I just pointed out to Councillor Mason that this council decides who is occupying those positions. If a coalition cannot be reached or an agreement can't be reached between two particular groups or three particular groups or four particular groups, then it will not happen. It's not going to work. But what this is requiring is that people are working together in the interests of the district. And as I've mentioned, I'm leader of this council at the moment, but there are the numbers out there to prevent me from being leader of this council. But that requires people working together to do that. I'm not confident that that's going to happen, but it could happen. And that's just there. It's not referencing particular circumstances at the moment. It's not referencing particular political parties. It's simply saying that actually there does need to be some sort of basis for running and delivering this council.
Before going to Councillor Raper, if anybody else has another question, if they make themselves known. Councillor Clark, you've already asked several questions. Did you want to ask another question? Well, Councillor Raper, you're next, and then I'll go to Councillor Burr, and that'll be... Councillor Clark, you're not first. Councillor Raper No, Councillor Raper is next, then Councillor Clark, and then Councillor Burr, and then we'll go into debate. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Committees. It states in our paperwork tonight that we have a following committees: Policy and Resources Committee, a subcommittee to that, Overview and Scrutiny Committee. In small print, we've got Overview. We've got Policy and Resources in very, very bold print. We've got Planning Committee in bold print. We've got Licensing Committee and the Audit and Governance and Standards Committee in bold print. It's a curiosity as to why the Scrutiny Committee is in not bold print. If that could be answered, it's a curiosity more than anything.
Thank you, Councillor Raper. In the paperwork that I submitted to the officers of this council, all of the committees were in bold font. I don't know why it's now come out as being in non-bold typeface. Of course, Overview and Scrutiny Committee probably should have been in size 36-point font with 5 exclamation marks at the end of it. It is not of my doing, and I think it's just been a typographical omission that's been made within the motion.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you, Councillor Duncan, for the answer. And I think if it had been in bold print in the first place, Councillor Clark's first question might not have been asked.
We'll go to Councillor Clark now, then, for another question.
I'm used to be putting in large print, but I can't quite see the relevance of my earlier question being related to the size or the heaviness of the font, but never mind. I have, Chair, unfortunately, two questions. One, the first one, I could ask them both together to try and save half a minute. Will the budget for all these posts, and all the chairs and vice chairs and everything else, be the same as it is now? And the second question is, on the basis of not having any coalition, and yet this only works for controlling groups or coalitions, on what basis did you ask Councillor Arnold to second it, or is it just because Councillor Arnold is good at seconding? Probably more experience at seconding than anybody else in the council. And I'm asking you,
the question is to Councillor Duncan.
Not the Deputy Leader, yes.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. You mentioned first about the budget in terms of remuneration. At the moment, the remuneration scheme is as it stands. There is no reference to the other chairman of the newly created committee, nor to lead members, so they would not be remunerated under the current scheme. The Independent Remuneration Panel, as you know, is the body which looks at remuneration for this council and makes recommendations to council, but only council can decide what remuneration members of this council should receive, be it a basic allowance or be it for special responsibility. That will be for them. At the moment, the budget will be identical, but some of these posts would not be mentioned within the remuneration scheme as it currently stands. I believe what probably should happen is that if this goes forward and is successful and is in operation, that the Independent Remuneration Panel would like to take some time to consider how it was operating before they were likely to make any recommendations to this council. But the budget remains the same as it always has at the present time. With regards to Councillor Arnold seconding the motion, I wouldn't like to speak for Councillor Arnold, but I presume the reason why he did so was because he supported what was being put forward, and that's why he seconded it.
Do you have a supplementary briefly, Councillor Clark?
I do briefly, Chair. If everything stays the same, the budget will be the same. That's a very helpful answer, and I appreciate it. It's told me a lot. So can we please have your word, Leader, through you, Chair, that if all these posts are put in place, that you will, along with your groups, support no increase of financing for the administrative, the chairs, the vice chairs, the leaders and whatever. In other words, the total package will be the same as it is now. Because otherwise, if you are creating several more posts, then you are, and you are going to remunerate each of them, then you are putting yourself in a position when it's only the controlling group can have, and only scrutiny is normally non-controlling group, you're putting more money into the hands, into the pockets of whatever you're called, controlling group, controlling coalition. Can we have your word that you vote to keep that down?
Councillor Clark, as I've just pointed out to you, only this council can decide about remuneration of members. If there is a majority in this chamber to do that, that is the only way that it can happen. But we should take on board the recommendations of the Independent Remuneration Panel. And I wouldn't like to give any indication about what they may come up with and what they may recommend to us.
Councillor Burr, I have you for a question and if needs be a supplementary, and then we'll go into debate.
Yes, just following that, I certainly do hope that if this does go through, that those leave members will not be remunerated. But I'm becoming rather concerned because we've now established that there's no official or there's no coalition. And it says here that the leader is going to be the council's main political representative. Now, at May's election, the Tories won 12 seats. That is fine. And I'm sure they were very disappointed that they didn't take over all control. But 18 seats were won by people who didn't want the Tories to actually represent them. So us working together is even more critical. And what I'm just worried about is that how can you be our main political representative when a lot of us don't share the same views as you?
Thank you, Councillor Burr. Again, we seem to be straying away from the words that are written on the sheet of paper into the current situation or the current personalities that are occupying these positions. I was elected as leader of this council because a majority of this council supported me to do so. There was a rival nomination from a newly elected member of this council who received less votes than I did. And clearly the majority of this council, and that's how democracies work on majorities, the majority of people around this room had the faith in me to do the job. Why they think that, I don't know. But they did, and they voted for me to be the leader of this council. And it goes back again to what I was saying before, that I can only occupy this position if a majority of people support me to do so. If someone else wants to put their name forward and see if they can get more support at the annual meeting of council, they're entitled to do so, but I'm not sure that would be the most stable footing for the running and the leadership of this council. But that remains to be seen if that ever does happen. But again, I would just like to point out that this is about making sure that we have very clearly who is running this council and who is delivering their priorities. It's not about the current situation and the current setup which we may have.
A supplementary, Councillor Burr? No? In which case, we will go into debate. It has been moved and seconded. Councillor Duncan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to move that this be referred to the Constitution Working Party for consideration with a report back before the annual meeting of Council 2020.
Do we have a seconder for that? Councillor Arnold. Councillor Clark. Councillor Clark, you wanted a second. I was looking at you and I caught you in the So you're wishing to count...
The point was, Chair, you were not expecting me to second it.
I was... I do try, but I cannot look everywhere all at the same time. Just for the record, Councillor Clark, you are seconding this motion to refer.
I am seconding it, Chair, for two reasons. One, I think it is the approach to any constitutional change to look at it on a smaller scale. And secondly, I'm not surprised that for seconding in this council you were looking at Councillor Arnold, because he does about 19 out of 20 of them. So you've got a fair odds at doing that.
It might be something to do with my master eye. Councillor Arnold, if you will just try and keep to the procedure. It has been moved and seconded. I don't think we need to go any questions. If there anybody wishes to speak for or against the motion that we refer, I will take it into debate. Does anybody wish to debate this, or shall we just go to the vote to refer? If anybody wishes to speak, put the hand up. For or against? If nobody wishes to speak for or against, well, you'll have a chance as seconder to speak now then. Councillor Duncan, do you wish to speak for the amendment to refer, or the motion to refer? Councillor Clark, as seconder, you may speak now.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know where this came from, but I suspect it came from either another council or a combination of councils, or some politician saying, oh, I know what to do, looking at it. Oh, I could be wrong. But it's got a sort of feeling to it that it's existed somewhere in a different life. Now, if you refer to the totally independent Tories as Tories, they get quite upset. And so, therefore, you mustn't. But on the other hand, they managed to work incredibly closely with the Tories, who they can't stand. Now, on that basis, I would like to have seen, and I think we can get out of here, and I hope the Constitution Working Party does it, is that we will get some reasoning as to why. Full council, I don't know whether, which full councils you've been fully attending, O leader, but some of the May full councils are chaos. And that's no fault of the chair, no fault of the officers, no fault of the politicians. They are just trying to get through an awkward lot of different things that have happened and putting them together. And then saying to that council, so what portfolios do you think we should have? You could end up with a portfolio for looking into this and that, because nobody could think what it ought to be called. You could miss out finance altogether. You could miss out all sorts of things. And you could end up with an allotment one and then going, oh, whoops, we haven't got an allotment. Now, on that basis, Chair, I think this is absolutely the right way to be dealing with it. As it stands, I can see an awful lot of negatives, but I want to hear from Councillor Duncan why he's wanting to do it, and bluntly, we'll have to do it for a similar sort of cost, because I do want to know, if scrutiny's been split up into that lot, why is it there? I want to know that it's not a power grab for the PNR, as it says so on here. I want to know that we've got planning moved into PNR. Now we're looking as to everything else going. Those are the questions that need to be asked. And if the answers are fine, that's fine. But if they're not fine, then they want to be out in the open and discussed. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Duncan, do you wish to say anything further?
I could respond to some of the things that Councillor Clark has just said, but I feel like given it's hopefully going for consideration the Constitution Working Party, of which we are both members, we can maybe discuss the questions that he's raised there.
Thank you. We will then go to the vote to refer to the Constitution Working Party. Members, please vote now.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
It is carried. It will be referred and then will be brought back in due course. Thank you. Members, can we go on to item 12, changes to committee membership? We have some changes to committee membership to approve from the independent group. Are those moved? From Councillor Burr and seconded, Councillor Thackeray. There's no debate, we'll go straight to the vote. Members, please vote now on item 12.
Chairman, that's 18 votes for, 8 against and 1 abstention.
Thank you. It is carried. We go on to item 13, urgent business. There is no urgent business. We go back, therefore, to item 10B, which we have already voted to go into exempt. If you go back to page 33, therefore, as it is an exempt item, I have to ask anybody who's not an elected member or officer to leave the room, please. I'm very sorry, you're not able to... well, we'll take it in the spirit it's mentioned. Thank you.